We as a church are called to mission. Our mission as a church is encapsulated in three words: connect, grow, and serve. And the challenge from the message last week was that we, before God, humble ourselves and pray the mission. Lord, lead me to connect. Not just coming together to receive something, because that's something that's very common in our culture. We go someplace to get something. We don't go to a concert. We go to a restaurant and we go to receive. But when we come together, let's be humbled before the Lord, asking Him, Lord, lead me to connect. Lead me to be a blessing. Lord, cause me to grow. Lord, move me to serve. This is our mission. And this mission is the vehicle that will transport us toward the vision of Grace Bible Church. Our vision is stated thus, and we are an intentional community of grace that loves God, demonstrated by loving people in a culture of discipleship. So that when we are humbled before the Lord and we are asking Him, Lord, lead me to connect, cause me to grow, move me to serve, then when we do that individually and we do that corporally, we will realize the vision that God has entrusted to us. Continuing on with that now, we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Last week we looked at the first four verses because Paul said we are workers together with Him. And today we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 6 verses 4 through 10. He says in verse 4, in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. The original words there are theou diakonoi. Theou is in the genitive case, which means it is the source of the ministry. We are ministers of God. And this is what Paul is affirming. So Paul says, the apostle says in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 6, 4, in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. That word commend, it's not like he's being braggadocious. The word commend means to make known by action. In other words, it's not just something we talk about. It's something we do. It's our modus operandi. It's the way we live. We demonstrate it. We make it known by our action. We're not just talking the talk. It is our walk. It is our lives. This is the way that we live among you. We are ministers of God. He says at the beginning of verse 4, in all things we commend ourselves. In all things. In all venues, in all arenas, in all circumstances of life, we are theou diakonoi, ministers of God. Not just when we're in this building. Not just when we're with our families reading scripture or praying before a meal. Not just when I'm having my own personal quiet time in reading scripture. In all things, we are theou diakonoi. Three ways that I want us to consider this morning from the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in the words that Paul gives us. First of all, we are ministers of God as fellow humans in a fallen creation. Fellow humans in a fallen creation. What does that mean? Look what he says now at the second part of verse 4. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses. What are these? These are the frustrating characteristics of a fallen creation. There is brokenness in this creation. There is brokenness in me. There is brokenness in all of us. And we share a common brokenness, which is why we are called not only to community, but we are called to be a community of grace. a community of grace, so that we understand that we are for each other. Our context is one of brokenness. It is a broken creation, and there are broken people, and I am a part of it. And therefore, I am a minister of God as a fellow human in a fallen creation. And we all experience the frustrating characteristics of a fallen creation. And that is what is reflected in the text right here, verses 4 and 5. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses. But there is also those who do not like my faith. There are those who care not to acknowledge God. And what will come of that? Verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Paul spent many days and weeks, even months, in jail because of his faith. And yet, he recognized himself to be theou diakonoi, a minister of God. And so we can identify with each other in our context of brokenness, the adversities, the pleasures of life, but all of that together, we identify with each other at a human level. Believer and non-believer alike, we identify with each other as fellow humans of a fallen creation. But we who are in Christ, we who know the promises of God and stand on the promises of God as we sang earlier. What does that mean for us? That means that we walk, yes, in the frustrating characteristics of a fallen creation, but we walk in the promise and the prospect of redemption and restoration. And how can I be confident of that? Because he said back in chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, he is new creation. That restoration, that new creation already exists within me because I am in Christ. I belong to God. And He is doing that work of restoration. And it begins right in here. And so, even in the context of a fallen creation and the brokenness in which we live, I walk and I move ahead. I persevere with the promise and the prospect of restoration and redemption. Let me give you an example of that. There's the story of Glenn and Tana Ray. Now, I got this. Somebody shared this as a link off of Facebook. And this is a video from Scottsdale Bible Church out in Scottsdale, Arizona. Here is a testimony of two people who were going through some adversity in life, and they were invited to church. Now, I want you to watch this in terms of the power of an invitation. Someone who is experiencing the brokenness of life, and then they were invited into community to be able to face the frustrating characteristics of a fallen creation. And through that adversity, they were brought to God. Watch this.
I don't know. I quit smoking cigarettes in the early 80s and threw a toothpick in my mouth, and I've had a toothpick every day since. So yeah, I'm the toothpick guy. I'm the director of a division that has about 1,400 employees that work at special events around the valley. After my divorce, just worked and worked and worked, because that was how it was defined, by how successful I was at work, but never really being happy, as a matter of fact. I met Tana and we fell in love instantly. At least I did.
We just hit it off right away, chemistry immediately.
Tana had these two beautiful little kids, Kaylee and Mason. So I said, let's get married. So we did. We got married in Disneyland. And then Daisy was born after only 6 months inside mom. She had a rare issue with her umbilical cord, and she had some stomach surgeries and some serious problems.
That experience was really terrifying, and she lived in the NICU for about 3 months.
During that time, this family, the Few Sorrows, had always been a good friend of mine. We told him what was going on with Daisy, and he said, you know, you should come to our church. And I said, well, I don't want to be the guy that goes to church just because my kid's in the hospital. Jimmy said, God doesn't care why you come.
Glenn had never even gone to church once in his life. He had never even prayed ever before.
My dad had a hard time with religion, and he taught me that it was for sissies. But we talked about it, my wife and I, and we said, we'll try it. We'll try anything at this point. What's the name of it? And I said, Scottsdale Bible Church. And so I went along, and we went to church, and it gave us a little refuge from the NICU.
We went for about a year and a half after Daisy was born, and she's doing wonderful, and you know, there's no long-term effects for her.
It became a bit of a lifestyle for us. My little Mason, he fell in love with church. He would ask specific questions about heaven, and I didn't know the answer.
And he believed immediately. And he started praying to God, and I would find him praying under his sheets at night.
One night we were laying in bed, we heard a cough, which was a familiar, unpleasant sound, which was usually the beginning of one of Mason's asthma attacks. So I grabbed the medicine, comes in a little vial, and ran in and dumped it in the mask and put the mask on Mason and put him on my lap and turned the machine on, and I could see that he was panicking a little bit.
And it startled me, and so I jumped out of bed, and he came running across the room at me, and he threw his arms at me, and he said, Mommy, please help me, I'm dying.
I think she went to run for her phone to call 911. And that's when Mason stopped breathing.
Glenn gave Mason CPR for about 6 minutes.
When the paramedics came, I had his heart beating, and then they worked on Mason for about 20 minutes in the hospital and tried all the different things that they could try to bring him back until it was clear to everybody that he wasn't coming back.
Of course, I lost control. And I knew God was telling me, I am a compassionate God, I'm a loving God, I love him enough to take him.
So I was pretty angry. And I said to Tana, so if there's a God, how can he take my son?
I said to him, don't you dare be angry at him because he is all that we have. And at that point, I brought him into my life and into my heart, and I knew. I just knew.
So the next day, Pat Sullivan explained to us how there's a chance that God was answering Mason's prayers as opposed to not answering ours. I shifted from, if there's a God, how can he take my son? To, there is a God, and how could he not take my son? And the church reached out to us, and they had this gigantic, amazing funeral, and we hadn't given any money to the church. We weren't members of the church. It's an amazing community. And God stood us up and sent us out to smile and tell people that you have a relationship with Jesus. You don't need anything else. Because there's been some tough times in that 4 years since Mason died. But it's been the best 4 years of my life. I used to hear people say, count your blessings. And I used to think, my motorcycle, my gold watch, the money that's in my bank account, those aren't blessings. Blessings are friendships, joy, your family. It'd be pretty rare to catch Glenn Ray working on a Sunday anymore. That's our family time. That's our church time. We pray as a family, and we study the Bible as a family, and are grateful as a family.
My name is Tana Ray.
I'm Glenn Ray, and this is the story of my family, and we're proud and blessed to be able to tell it.
Do you see what a community of grace is? As fellow humans in a fallen creation, we identify with each other in a common brokenness. And yet, as we walk in the prospect and the promise of restoration and redemption, we can invite others in and invite them to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That is what a community of grace is. Inevitably, everyone faces a crisis. Everyone will face adversity. You and every Fran in your life, Fran means friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Everyone will face an adversity, and you as a minister of God and as a fellow human in a fallen creation can be the bridge for them to the Redeemer and the Restorer. That is what a community of grace does. And that is what discipleship is. As you hear the term discipleship here at Grace Bible Church, it is my hope, it is my prayer, and as we as pastors and deacons are discussing this, we want you to know what discipleship is. We want you not to be thinking, well, I keep hearing discipleship, but what does it mean? It means this. Let me give you this definition, and I really want you to take this with you today, okay? Because this is what happens in a community of grace. Discipleship is one life coming alongside another to walk together Godward. One life coming alongside another to walk together Godward. That's all it is. You saw it in this video. You saw the effects of a community of grace where an adversity of life, God used that adversity and a Christian community to draw people to Himself. He is a reconciling God. He is a compassionate God. And so we are ministers of God as fellow humans in a fallen creation. We identify with each other. At the level of humanity, we have a common brokenness. And we live in that brokenness. But not only that, we are also ministers of God as beloved children of the Heavenly Father. Yes, we are fellow humans in a fallen creation, but we are also ministers of God as the beloved children of the Heavenly Father. We find this in the text now in verses 6 and 7. Look what he says. Going back to verse 4, in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, verse 6, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. What are those? Those are characteristics of God. And they manifest, they flow through children of God. He says, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. That means that we are ministers of God as the beloved children of the Heavenly Father because God is our reference. He is our anchor. And therefore, we can maintain perspective. Not only is He our anchor in terms of perspective, but He is our resource, the infinite, sovereign, benevolent Creator. We have His resources to do life as the beloved children of the Heavenly Father. And you know what? Oftentimes, He calls us to do very difficult things. Things that are not possible by the natural person. Take, for example, Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. What does the Lord Jesus say? But to love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. What is that? That is the power of God and the character of God flowing through the child of God. You see, this doesn't happen just because we choose to. This happens as an outflow of our walk with God and our communion with God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence within us. He mentions that in verse 6. We do this by the Holy Spirit. His fruit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are abilities that the natural man does not have. But we who are in Christ have this resource. And we do it by the Holy Spirit, which means that we have a mind and a heart for God. We do it by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I like what he says at the end of verse 7, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We are double armed on the right hand and the left. You know, it just comes to mind, a picture of the superhero with, you know, two big weapons, like that, right? Well, you know, that's really not what he's talking about, but we go to too many movies today, I understand, or read too many cartoons. But we are armed. We are equipped. But what are they? They are the Word of God and prayer. Ephesians 6, remember that? Double armed on the right hand and on the left. As the song that we commonly sing. And with the sword that does what? Makes the wounded whole. We will fight with faith and valor. You see, these are the resources that we have in God, which is what he is pointing out in verses 6 and 7. As beloved children of the Heavenly Father, because we have been reconciled to God. The fact that we are reconciled to God means that we can now be in relationship with God. And as we are walking with God, then the outflow of that is the character of God. Listen, don't put the cart before the horse, okay? An apple tree is an apple tree because the apples grow out of the tree. No one goes up to a tree and pins apples on it and calls it an apple tree. And so it is with the walk of faith. The good works that we do are an outflow of our vital connection with the source of life. We don't do it just by putting it on. These are supernatural things that come from our walk with God. But also, another thing that I want to point out here, as we are ministers of God, as the beloved children of the Heavenly Father, it means this, we are family. Christians, we are family. We are the household of God. John, the Apostle John, tells us, he who loves God loves him who is begotten of God. The Lord Jesus himself said, by this all will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. You know what he's pointing out here? As we look at the list of verses 6 and 7, that is the resource, the reference that we have in God as the beloved children of the Heavenly Father. We are family, and when we come together, this is a banquet. And we come to this banquet so that when we leave here, we leave with the view towards inviting others to the banquet. Glenn and Tana Ray were invited to the banquet, weren't they? And look at the blessing they received from that. Not only are we ministers of God as fellow humans in a fallen creation and as beloved children of the Heavenly Father, but we are also ministers of God as alien citizens of another kingdom. Alien citizens of another kingdom. Why do I say that? Remember what Paul told the Philippians? Our citizenship is where? In heaven. To the Ephesians, he said, we are already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Meaning what? That is where we belong. In God's perspective, we who are in Christ are already glorified in Christ. It's done. And yet, in space and time, we remain on this earth. So what we have in verses 8 through 10 are the paradoxes of the walk of faith. Because We belong in one kingdom, and yet we live yet still in this kingdom. But there is reason for that. There is purpose for that. And these paradoxes of the walk of faith should not surprise us. Peter tells us that. Do not be surprised by it. It should be expected. Why do I say that? Because we're in enemy territory. What does that mean? John tells us the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And there is a system of thought that chooses not to acknowledge of God, not to acknowledge God. And that system will not like our faith because we acknowledge God. And so there is a battle raging. And it's not against flesh and blood. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians 6. Our battle is against the forces of darkness. But we are citizens of one kingdom, living in another. And one kingdom will want to oppress the values of the other. We read this, Rob read this earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look with me again at verses 11 and 12. As aliens and strangers, because we are citizens of another kingdom, as aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, notice that it says when, not if, but when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Here's a very important truth. We who are in Christ and yet living in this world, who we are is not determined by the circumstances of this kingdom. We are alien citizens of another kingdom. What is the perspective that we must gain from that? Let me borrow the words from Jen Hatmaker. And I believe this was Paul's perspective. Yes, we are fellow humans in a fallen creation, but we are the beloved children of the Heavenly Father, and we are alien citizens of another kingdom. What if, in all the circumstances of life, in all the aspects and areas of your life, what if we were intentionally sent to this world? Not to stand in judgment of it, not to remain separate in our safe Christian confines, but to be for it. To be representative of Jesus, to bear the good news everywhere we go. Think about that. God, in His infinite omniscience and sovereignty, saw you. And He intentionally sent you into your world, into your home. You have been intentionally sent into your home to be for it, to represent Jesus. He intentionally sent you into your work to be for it, to represent Jesus. To your church, you have been intentionally sent there to be for it, to represent Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it? Ministers of God. The Lord Jesus affirms this, you know, in His prayer in John chapter 17. Look at that with me, John 17, verses 15 to 18. The Lord says, He's praying for His disciples, His followers. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Why? Because they don't belong there, right? But He says, Lord, Father, I don't want you to take them out of the world. Leave them there. But that you should keep them from the evil one. You see the protection that we have in God's grace. That they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Why? Because we've been born of God. All of this through faith. Okay? Sanctify them by your truth. The word sanctify means what? Set apart. Set apart. You watch this? Set apart them by your truth. Your word is truth. You have sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. There it is. Christians, are you listening? You have been intentionally sent into the world as theou diakonoi. As fellow humans in a fallen creation, but as the beloved children of the Heavenly Father and as alien citizens of another kingdom. So I encourage you then, in all of these ways, pursue redemptive relationships. We are a community of grace with a culture of discipleship. Let me give you maybe an easier way to kind of hang on to this as you leave today, because that is our intent. We want you to take something with you. And many of you do. Many of you comment. And I know many of you are listening well and you're bringing this together. But we are ministers of God. What kind of ministers? Well, let me do this. Bear with me here for a moment, okay? Let's call it CIA ministers. You know, you ever come up and have a conversation with a stranger and they say, "Oh, what do you do?" And you're going to say, "I'm a CIA minister." You immediately have their attention. Okay? What is a CIA minister? Well, it looks like this. It begins with adoration. That's the A. Adoration. To walk humbly with your God. Go ahead and bring up that adoration there. And then see what happens. The outflow of that. Take that back. Go to the back arrow. And then let's do that again. Hit the back arrow. There you go. Watch this. There you go. Hit the forward arrow. And then the outflow. You see how that works? That's the right order there. Okay? It has to happen in that order. I'm not asking you to go out here and just be compassionate and invite. I'm asking you to be people who adore the Heavenly Father and your communion with Him, and the outflow of that is going to be compassion, to love mercy, Micah 6:8, to love mercy as fellow humans in a fallen creation. Invitation, to do justly as alien citizens of another kingdom. And the adoration is, well, you should know by now, to walk humbly with your God. That's a CIA minister. Now get this. Somebody's going to say, "What is a CIA minister?" They're going to think you work for the government if you tell them that, right? Say, so, and then you start describing to them what CIA means. Two things could happen. Number one, they might run away from you. Okay? Many will. But there is also the probability that some will say, "I want to hear more." Be a minister of God to them. Be theou diakonoi. Because that's who we are. Minister to them as a fellow human in a fallen creation. Identify with them at the level of humanity. We're not superhumans. We have struggles. We have hurts. Okay? And we're lying if we put up the pretense that we don't. But identify with each other as fellow humans in a fallen creation. But also, make it clear that we are beloved children of the Heavenly Father. And that we are alien citizens of another kingdom. We operate by the power and the values and the priorities of a much higher kingdom. But we're here. We are theou diakonoi. We have been intentionally sent into the world to be for it. We have been intentionally sent to each other to be for each other. That's what it means to be theou diakonoi.